this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Randall Terry, you can't get any better than what we're seeing right now in terms of explaining the threat that we face right now. Please pay attention to this. Please pay attention to every word that is being spoken here, and take this, spread the message of this show, this episode, to your pastor, to your family. Please ask them to understand what we face. This is the guy. Randall Terry is the man, the go-to man for all of this. You heard his bona fides. You don't get any better than that. Before we get back to our guest, I want you to imagine your daughter, your wife. We're talking about this right now. Let's say they've been kidnapped to be used as a sex slave. Imagine having to abandon your older parents as ISIS advances, just to save your children. Imagine that you're a mother living in an open field with no money after your husband was killed due to his religion, and you feel compelled to prostitute yourself just to feed your toddlers. Imagine living in refugee camps where you're attacked daily by mortars, or where the children from nearby villages dump scorpions so your family can be bitten. I mean, just imagine this stuff. Imagine needing to walk a mile uphill just for fresh water because people defecate upstream, contaminating the drinking water, reaching Christians below. Yes, I said Christians. This is the stuff you won't hear on mainstream media. This is the stuff that you won't hear on syndicated radio. This is the stuff people are afraid to talk about. Imagine being denied an American visa because you're a Christian. And meanwhile, non-Christian refugees freely come to your country, invade, immigrate to the United States. Imagine this litany of pain and suffering, and you'll know. You'll know what it's like to be an Assyrian Christian in the Middle East. Folks, help defend Assyrian Christians. You can make that difference. Help defend Assyrian Christians in need. Give to the United Assyrian Appeal.org. United Assyrian Appeal.org. Let me say that one more time. United Assyrian Appeal.org. That is United, and then the word Assyrian, Assyrian appeal.org. Please, folks, somebody has got to stand up for these people. Our guest, Randall Terry. Joe?
Yeah, we've had Randall Terry on from the last hour, and he'll be with us until the end of the show. And he is covering some aspects of Muhammad, of Islam, and the Quran, things that we really haven't dug into too deep before, and this is very educational and important. Just before the break, we mentioned how, you know, in the scripture it says that, you know, to not be to be aware of the devil's devices and to know our enemy. And this is exactly what Mr. Terry is presenting to us, and it's fascinating. So, Mr. Terry, go ahead and continue.
Well, you guys hit the nail on the head with know your enemy. And two things. My wife came in during the break and said, Randall, please let people know that we're not afraid. We are not afraid. And we're not fear-mongering. We're not trying to make people afraid. We're trying to help people know their enemy. Winston Churchill is one of my heroes, and I know he's a hero for you guys. I can tell by the way you talk. So he read Mein Kampf. In 1934, 35, 36, when Time magazine was calling Hitler Man of the Year, and Baldwin and MacDonald and Chamberlain were praising Hitler and cutting deals with Hitler, Churchill was saying, he's a madman. He's going to plunge all of Europe into war. We must hem him in. We must destroy him. Hitler wrote out what he intended to do in Mein Kampf. And Churchill had the smarts to read Mein Kampf. So if we're going to understand Islam, we have to know them. We have to understand how they think. For example, the self-proclaimed caliph, which means successor in, and those of you who are tweeting us and texting us like crazy, yes, we'll talk about deception and abrogation in a minute, but just let me make this point. I forgot my thought. Where was I going with this, Lane? So Churchill read Mein Kampf. He studied it, and he knew his enemy. We don't know our enemy, and therefore we can't know what they're thinking. So the guy who is the head of ISIS right now, his name, his self-taken name, is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now, if we don't know Islamic history, that would mean nothing to us. He might as well name himself Santa Claus. But Abu Bakr was Muhammad's father-in-law. Abu Bakr was the dad of the little child bride, Aisha, who Muhammad had sex with when she was 9 years old. Abu Bakr was the first caliph. Caliph means successor. So after Muhammad died, the first guy in charge was Abu Bakr. And the first thing that Abu Bakr did was launch the apostasy wars. Because when Muhammad died, most of the Arabian Peninsula had already been converted by that time. It was a brutal, brutal subjugation of Arabia. And one by one, cities said, okay, yes, we're in. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is his messenger. They would swear the oath. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his apostle. Okay, you're in. Well, when Muhammad died, these people said, that's behind us. Muhammad's dead. Let's go back to our pagan religions. And Abu Bakr said, no. Muhammad's dead, but Allah is alive. And you swore an oath to Allah. And if you don't stay with Islam, we're going to kill you. So Abu Bakr launched the apostasy wars, killed tens of thousands of people to ensure that Arabia stayed Islamic. So when this guy from ISIS picks the name Abu Bakr, he's saying, I'm the guy. I'm going to use the sword to deal with apostasy in Islam. I'm going to kill Muslims. I'm going to kill people who are in my path to establish Islam and Sharia law, just like Abu Bakr did after the death of Muhammad. We don't know the story. We don't know why he's naming himself that. If we know the story, it all makes sense. So, we've got to know our enemy. We've got to study their material. And the reason we put this series together, and this is like a college education, people. I spent over $30,000, thanks to many of our benefactors. We spent over $30,000 to get a master's degree in diplomacy and international terrorism. And my poor wife was a was a university widow for a while. And you get the fruit. You get the fruit. You can buy the fruit, 4 DVDs for $35. And you get all of this resource material, all of these quotes, all of the primary sources at your fingertips. And as Doug said earlier, buy more than one set and give one to your chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
Give one to your pastor. Give one to the head of your fire department, because he's going to have to deal with it. Get the word out, not so that we can be afraid, but so that we can know our enemy, so that we can understand what we're facing. And I'll say one other thing, and then we can move on to whatever you guys want to talk about. And that is that, by the way, the website is voiceofresistance.org or WWMD.TV. What would Muhammad do? WWMD.TV. And you can go and you can watch the first episode for free. You can order the series. And I encourage you to order multiple series. And again, money back guarantee, no questions asked if you get it and you don't like it. So,
and back to you. The one thing that I really want to say about this, and your videos, by the way, if folks watch Mr. Terry's videos, all of them about the wide ranging issues, but one thing about this particular DVD package is to me this puts everything in context, and what we've lacked, you know, for so many years is, at least in my view, is the context. Even today, you hear these, mm-hmm. these idiot people in the main fake media, you're right, say, well, you know, Islam, the attacks, it's a bastardization of Islam.
Right, they say that the terrorists have stolen or hijacked right. the yeah. peaceful religion of Islam. A bunch of hooey. That's crap.
Exactly.
It's crap.
Exactly. And even today, you know, we see the attack today in Paris, and we've seen such horrific attacks. If we don't educate the people in power, and that's from the politicians to the police to, as you said, the firefighters to the pastors, we're not going to win. I mean, yep. At least in the, we know who, folks, don't send me emails. We understand in a larger sense who wins. We win. Jesus wins. We understand that. But in the meantime, how many lives can we save?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm with you on that, Doug, because there's been tens of thousands, well, probably millions of Christians who have been beheaded, starved to death. Their children were kidnapped to become Janissaries. I mean, there's this multi-hundred-year history where Muslims would occupy a Christian country and steal baby boys to become militant Muslim bodyguards and then send these children back to torment their family 20 years later. I mean, some of this stuff is beyond demonic.
Well, okay. So, if I can address this with you here, what we saw under Obama's reign, 8-year reign of, you know, whatever, this open door immigration policy, I submit, and I know you agree, and I've, knowing your material, this is immigration jihad, isn't it? Conquest by.
It's so glaring. None are as blind as the willfully blind. So, you know, the emperor's new clothes, they're beautiful. No, he's naked, and he's flabby, and he's pink and ugly. So, we have these refugees pouring in, and the truth of the matter is that many of them are refugees. We just don't know which ones. And I'm going to up the ante here, because President Trump has, and I'm so thrilled that we have President Trump. Thank you, God, that we got a reprieve. Can you imagine how we'd be sick to our stomach saying President Hillary?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Anyway, they've gone out of their way to say this is not a Muslim ban. I think in some ways that's prudent. They have to do that. But they're denying us the opportunity to have a genuine debate about the existential threat that Islam is. Islamic law is committed to the overthrow of the U.S. Constitution, for example. Committed to the overthrow of the U.S. Constitution. It's a duty. Jihad is a duty, according to Muhammad and according to Islamic law. So, when we see these refugees coming in, we don't know which ones are terrorists. But to go a step further, the seven nations on the ban, the media has been pointing out, the main fake news is saying, well, most of the terrorist attacks in America didn't even come from these countries. You're right. You know what? We should expand the list. Because the terrorists are coming from Pakistan, from Egypt, from Afghanistan, from Saudi Arabia. The greatest villain out there is Saudi Arabia. The single largest financier of terrorism in the world is not Iran. It's Saudi Arabian oil sheiks. Iran has the designation under international law, under U.S. law, the State Department, of being a state sponsor of terrorism. So that means that the state cuts the check. But the largest financier of Islamic terrorism are Saudi Arabian businessmen, wealthy sheiks. Remember, Osama bin Laden came from a wealthy family. So, Saudis are not state sponsors of terrorism, but they're still the Saudi Arabian Peninsula and its wealthy oil sheiks, they're the number one financier of terrorism. Now, concerning the refugees, most of the attackers on U.S. soil and European soil, but most of the attackers on U.S. soil were here legally, not illegally. They were here legally. Or they were born here. They were born from Muslim parents who emigrated from another country. So what's the connection? Islam, Muhammad, Alton Nolson, that guy who beheaded Colleen Hufford in Oklahoma. He wasn't even raised as a Muslim. He converted. So the thread that everyone wants to ignore is Islam. And these people who were born in the U.S. or immigrated here legally and are citizens committing these attacks, like in Orlando and the Pentagon, etc. The threat is Islam. And the threat is, we have an allegiance to Allah. We have an allegiance to Muhammad. We have an allegiance to Sharia law. The issue was not that they had an allegiance to Somalia or Syria or Yemen or any of the countries on the list. No, that's not the issue. The issue is they have an allegiance to Islam. And Islam is committed to the conquest of the earth, and it's committed to deceiving us into thinking that it's not true. Deception is one of the most powerful tools of Islam, and that deception was authorized by Muhammad himself.
And that's the taqiyya that people have been asking about, essentially saying you're giving one a pass to lie one's butt off in order to accomplish the objectives. Kind of the Marxist principle that the objectives or the ends justify the means.
And it gives them the ability to infiltrate societies, organizations, institutions under that veil of deception. Mr. Terry, if we can just back up a second.
I want to, if I could for a second, talk about taqiyya just for 1 minute.
Yes, sure.
We have a minute to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
There was a scene in Muhammad's life where he was being mocked by a Jew, half Arab, named Cobb. Cobb, son of Ashraf. And Muhammad said, "Who will rid me of Cobb, the son of Ashraf?" Muhammad would regularly dispatch assassins to kill people. And this guy said, "I'll kill him for you, O apostle of God." So after 2 or 3 days, he hadn't gone to try and kill him. And Muhammad said, "What's wrong? What's the problem? You're not eating." And he said, "I'm afraid that I'm going to fail." And he said, "Just do what you need to do. If you don't succeed, it's okay." And he said, and I quote, "O apostle of God, we shall have to tell lies." And Muhammad said to him, "Say what you like. You are absolved in the matter." Now, deceit in war is normal. Okay? We all acknowledge that it's an actual principle that we can function under, deceiving the enemy. But he went to Cobb. He got a relative, a foster brother of Cobb, to go with him, who had become a Muslim. And they went to Cobb, and they slandered Muhammad. They actually made Cobb think that they didn't like Muhammad, that they wish he would leave Medina, that he was a problem, that he was a burden. So they got Cobb to let down his guard by actually slandering Muhammad. Now think about that. Compare that to Christianity. Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before God and the angels." Muhammad said, "If you deny me, if in your heart you don't deny me, it's okay." And he said to these, which makes you wonder about Barack Hussein Obama, and he said to these other, he said to the guys, if you want to slander me, go ahead, just make sure that you kill Cobb. He wanted that man dead, and they got him. They lured him out on a night stroll, and they butchered him. They killed him, cold blood, just because he had written poetry against Muhammad. That was his crime, writing poems against Muhammad. So your viewers who are asking us questions about taqiyya, deception, we have an entire episode committed to just taqiyya. And we have another whole episode in the extras reel committed to just abrogation, which is used to deceive us. And just go and get the series, friends. Go to voiceofresistance.com, order 1, 2, 4 sets. And again, for everyone who's listening, a complete, no questions asked, 100% money back guarantee. And no one has ever taken us up on it, ever. And people are ordering multiple copies. They order one and go, "Oh no, I need to get 4 more." And they're ordering more. That happens every day. We get our second order come in from someone who says, "This is incredible. I've never seen anything like it." It's because there is nothing like it. So right now we've got the playing field to ourselves. But I can promise you, Doug and Joe, Somebody is going to do another series. They'll probably steal all my research and make a better movie out of it.
As usual. Yeah. Now, let me ask you about... Oh, I've got to ask your reasoned opinion about Obama. What we saw the last 8 years, to me, I'll just preface it by saying this. 9/11, then the remaining portion of George Bush's term and re-election and such, greased the skids, in my view, for the selection, ultimate election, and installation of Barack Hussein Obama. I truly, looking into the matter, I truly believe Maricopa County Sheriff's Department had proven the document, his birth records, to be a forgery, 9 points of forgery. But that aside, the larger picture here, Obama, Muslim sympathizer. I mean, we know, it's obvious he was a Muslim sympathizer, but...
How about some comedy? You want some comic relief?
Sure.
All right. So, you've heard that there's five pillars of Islam. And one of the five pillars is that Muslims are required to pray five times a day. What most of us don't know, again, because we don't know the stories, is the mirage. It's called the mirage. It's the night flight of Muhammad. Have you ever heard of the night flight?
If you haven't... From yours, yes, from you, but...
All right, so Muhammad falls asleep at the Kaaba in Mecca. This is before he became a warlord. And he said that he was awakened by Gabriel, who cut open his guts, took his heart out, washed it, stuck it back in, and then gave him a horse, half man, a mystical horse of some kind, half man, half horse with wings. And the horse's name was, you guessed it, Barak. So Barak, the horse, takes him to Jerusalem, where he lands on top of the Temple Mount, which is why the Muslims claim that they have to have total authority in Jerusalem. And then from the Temple Mount, Muhammad allegedly ascends into heaven and sees all these different prophets, Jesus and Moses and John the Baptist and Abraham, and he goes up to see God, and God gives him the commandment to pray 50 times a day. And Moses says to Muhammad when he's coming up, no, you can't do 50, you've got to lower it. So Muhammad talks God down to five times a day. Muhammad gets back on the horse, flies back to Mecca, and the five pillars of Islam now include you must pray five times a day. It's not in the Quran. It's in the Hadith. So Muhammad flies on a horse named Barak. That's the horse. The American president, Barak, is the horse's ass, and you cannot confuse the two.
Comic relief indeed.
I'm sorry, can we say that on this air network?
Well, you just did, so we'll just go with it. How's that?
So I think that Obama, and that story is true, by the way, I mean the story is not true, but that five times a day prayer, sure, and Muhammad flying, that's actually a part of Islamic orthodoxy,
right?
If you don't believe that Muhammad flew on this horse, then you're considered a heretic,
man.
So I think, you know, I heard Rush say, if Obama wasn't a Muslim, what would he do differently? And that's a great question. Because when Muhammad talks at a prayer breakfast and lectures us about how bad the Crusades are, no, the Crusades weren't bad. Yes, there were some sins that were committed during certain Crusades, but the reason that you and I don't speak Arabic is because of the Crusades. The Crusades saved Christendom from the threat of Islam. So I think that Obama's greatest treachery is the Iran deal. And I've tried to find out if Obama's dad was a Shiite or a Sunni Muslim, because the Sunnis are the predominant part of Islam, but Iran, it was ancient Persia, is predominantly Shiite. Now, one person contacted me who did research that I'm telling you his dad was Shiite. His dad was Shiite. His dad was Shiite. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but if his dad was Shiite, it would explain why Obama greased the skids for Iran to get all this money, knowing that they're a state sponsor of terrorism, okay? They use money to fund terrorism. and why he would pave the way for them to have nuclear weapons, which they're going to have because of this deal, unless we stop them. So Pakistan has nuclear weapons. They're Sunnis. The Saudis funded most of the Pakistani nuclear program. So at any point, if the Saudis want to do the chit, you know, you owe me, give me the due bill has come, they can say to the Pakistanis, we want some nukes. So I often wonder if Mohammed's sympathy, secret, blatant, I don't know, if his sympathy for Shia Islam is why he paved the way for the Shiite Muslims of Iran to have all this money and to have the door open to them for nuclear weapons. And clearly he hated Israel. And if Iran gets nukes, the state of Israel is in deep danger.
Absolutely. And there's just this week new developments with the Iranian nuke situation. And it is interesting that while lifting the monetary sanctions against Iran and giving them the nuclear weapons capabilities, they came out and said that this deal was preventing Iran from developing nuclear weaponry capabilities. And that's obviously, you know, a big lie. Folks, our guest is Randall Terry. He will be with us until the end of the show after this next segment. His website is voiceofresistance.org. What Would Muhammad Do? DVDs. Also, www.wwmd.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. There
shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
ladies and gentlemen, to the to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, our final segment with Randall Terry. His website, voiceofresistance.org, voiceofresistance.org. You got to visit the website. You got to take a look at the website and visit all of the video assets, videos that he's got, the episodes. Just so rich in a number of areas, and it's available to you. Randall Terry is our guest. We're so pleased to have him, by the way. And you know him. You know him, and his DVD, What Would Muhammad Do, really essential to educate the people in power, from the pulpits to the police to the politicians. Before we get back to him, T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels. You know what? Kick back, start a fire in your fireplace, preferably in your fireplace, and crack open one of T.C. Joseph's books, or all three, preferably. Book one is Precipice, book two is Pentecost, and book three is Penance. It's a series of novels. T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. Great reviews. Kirkus reviews, Blue Ink reviews, just outstanding reviews of This Generation series of novels by T.C. Joseph. Folks, visit thisgenerationseries.com. That's thisgenerationseries.com, or buy on Amazon. These are great books to give to family, friends, whatever, or whoever. In fact, many have been used as tools to awaken family members and friends to the perilous times that we face. Again, thisgenerationseries.com.
And Randall Terry is our guest, been with us for the last hour and a half, going to stay with us till the end of the show. Mr. Terry, where do you want to start off this segment?
Well, I thought that we should go ahead and play a clip from episode 6. Lane, what were you telling me the people were asking? By the way, you've got a huge YouTube audience. I know you already knew that, but there's people going crazy. Oh, it's a Sunni-Shiite split.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we keep hearing about Sunnis killing Shiites, Shiites killing Sunnis. We don't have any clue what's going on. In a nutshell, the word Shiite is actually a slur. When Muhammad died, he had not left really explicit instructions as to who should be his successor. So there was a point when he said of Ali, his son-in-law, who married his daughter Fatima, he said, "This is my heir." So there were many Muslims who said, "Well, Muhammad said he's the heir, he should be the next caliph, the successor." Others said, no, it could be anybody. So when Muhammad died, Ali would not leave his body. And then there was these secret meetings going on as to who was going to be the successor, and then ended up being Muhammad's father-in-law, Abu Bakr. In a nutshell, Shia al-Ali, the party of Ali. It means those who believed that it had to be Ali, because he was a relative, he was Muhammad's cousin as well as his son-in-law, and because he was married to Muhammad's daughter, Fatima, Ali had Muhammad's grandsons, who were named, by the way, Hassan and Hussein. So Barack Hussein Obama is named after Muhammad's grandson. Anyway, there were people who said, it's got to be Ali. And other people said, no, it could be Abu Bakr. So it was Abu Bakr, and then it was Umar, and then it was Uthman, and then it was finally it was Ali. Well, then a civil war erupted, and Aisha, who was the child bride, was now in her 30s, and she was enraged because Uthman had been assassinated by people who were sympathetic to Ali, and Ali would not punish them. So this horrific civil war broke out, and led by Aisha herself on a camel. It was horrific. If you read the history of it, it was horrific. And that split happened then. And the Shiites believed then, and up to this day they still do, that the only legitimate imam, or the only legitimate successor, caliph, is a blood relative of Muhammad, and it should be one of the heirs of Muhammad, one of the direct descendants. And the Sunnis say, no, it could be anybody who walked in the path of Muhammad. And they each consider the other heretics. The Sunnis hate the Shiites. They say that the only thing worse than an infidel is a Shiite. So it's bitter. It's a bloody religion. It's bloody.
Sounds like a family reunion at Keith Ellison's house. or the DNC, I'm not sure.
Beg your pardon.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. You had a clip you want us to cue up there.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
What clip?
Let me look at it really quick. This will be interesting. Go ahead and play the episode 6, shot 2. Now, this one has to deal with... did we play that one already, Eric?
No, we have not.
All right. So this has to do with ISIS. The reason I wanted you guys to play this is so that people could see that when somebody comes on the air and says, Islam is a religion of peace, Muhammad never had a sex slave, they're lying. And they can't give you a chapter and verse to vindicate their lie. They're just lying. So ISIS said, ISIS actually wrote an article in one of their magazines, Islam is a religion of the sword. And they just quote over and over from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the biographies, saying that it's absurd to assert that Islam is not a religion of the sword. Of course it's a religion of the sword. God gave the sword to Muhammad to force people to worship him. And I'll read one of those quotes when we come back. But let's play this one so that you can see how that ISIS is embracing sexual slavery because Muhammad did.
ISIS has a magazine called Dubiq. In their 2014 issue, ISIS released a lengthy defense of their practice of sexual slavery. ISIS declares with pride in having sex slaves because Muhammad and his companions did. The author, a woman, opens her article stating that sexual slavery is a pure prophetic tradition of Muhammad. She quotes the Quran, and just as often, one of Muhammad's biographies, or the Hadith, focusing on specific stories from Muhammad's life to justify what they do and why they do it. Far from running from Muhammad's teaching and Muhammad's example, they embrace them. She boasts that Muhammad had 4 sexual slaves.
Al-Tabari records that Allah gave his messenger Rehana as booty after Muhammad killed the men of Banu Qurayza. Maria was a slave given to Muhammad as a gift from the leader of the Copts.
I have a gift for your viewers. I apologize for trying to clear my throat, gentlemen. I created a Muslim glossary of terms, and I know that you can't see this in clarity, but there's a ton of words here that really we should be familiar with if we're going to understand Islam. And then on the other side of it, it's a front back. The other side are a bunch of quotes from Muhammad on sexual assaults on women. And then a bunch of quotes of him explaining that jihad is how he's going to conquer the world for Islam. That is free. You can hit print and you can take that glossary and those quotes and laminate them. And then you've got them at your disposal. So if you go to our website, what would Muhammad do? I'm sorry, voiceofresistance.com or www.md.tv, www.md.tv, you can go and you can get that glossary for free, and there's a ton of research there. And again, the DVD series, there's 4 DVDs, and we cover Islam from soup to nuts. And I think that it's important to tell your viewers, if they think that I'm going to slam Islam in the series, I actually don't. I'm really respectful. And the reason is because we're going to release this soon with Arabic subtitles. We intend to release this in every Muslim nation in the world. And the reason is because most Muslims are tantamount to Christmas and Easter Christians. they go to mosque once in a while. They drink beer. They eat pork. They eat bacon. They don't pray five times a day. They're culturally Muslim. They don't know the stories of Muhammad's life. They don't know that Muhammad killed with his own hand. They don't know that Muhammad ordered assassinations. They don't know that Muhammad had sex slaves. They don't know any of it. Why? They don't study Islam. Just like a Christian who goes to church once a year. I mean, you would never trust him to tell you the dogmas of the Christian faith. Likewise, there are millions and millions of Muslims who are Muslim because they were born Muslim, but they don't know this, much less believe it. And so we respectfully reach out to Muslims in the series and say, look, this is all your literature. Check every reference. And towards the end, we start to say, look, in your heart, you know this is not true. You know that God did not send Muhammad to force people to worship Allah at the point of a sword. You know that Muhammad was not sent by God to rape women. You know it's a falsehood. So why are you still a Muslim? And then, of course, the answer is fear, terror. Because Muhammad said, kill anyone who leaves Islam. That we have an entire episode just on apostasy and how without the apostasy laws, Islam would die of its own weight. And that's where we need to go. Because ultimately, Christianity, as you mentioned, Doug, Christianity will prevail. You know, we read the back of the book, we know who wins. But in the meantime, we want nations to be free of Islam. Like Spain was once held captive and now it's free. Greece was once held captive, now it's free. We want nations to be free of the scourge of Islam. And I've been told repeatedly by people, and I took their advice, that the easiest way to convert a Muslim away from Islam to Christianity, or to nothing for that matter, but the easiest way is to just teach them Islam. Teach them the life of Muhammad. Because the natural instinct, the natural soul, the heart, is so repulsed by what they see. I actually had that happen. I traveled the Middle East in preparation for this series. And when I became bold enough to ask the person I was with, you know, I would say, did you know that Muhammad killed with his own hand? I asked about a dozen people, and only two of them did. The other 10 said, that is not true. Muhammad is a man of peace. They were enraged that I would even suggest it. So obviously that sample group is more anecdotal, but it showed me that I was dealing with, that we are dealing with, people who are Muslim in name only, and they don't know their own heritage.
Well, if I can ask this, and I'm asking this for context, we saw the Women's March. We saw it organized, and this woman, Linda Sarsour, I guess her name is Sarsour. Mm-hmm. Okay. A Muslim, the headdress, you know, hijab and all, leading this feminist woman's march. What in, can you explain how that's even possible?
Sure. Okay. I don't know her, so this is conjecture on my part, but it's easy conjecture when you understand the Islamic mind. She hates Trump because of Trump's, as a Muslim, she hates Trump. Because of Trump's insistence that we're going to prohibit Muslims from certain countries from coming in. And because Trump had the audacity to say during the campaign that we're at war with Islam and that Islam is at war with us. So I think that what she may have done is found willing dupes whose mission is to undermine the credibility of President Trump. To try and put him on unstable footing. And I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that they understand what this man is made of. But I guarantee you that devout Islam does not believe in child killing. I mean, that's one thing. A broken clock is right twice a day. So Islam does not believe in killing unborn babies. And this woman was involved in a march where she helped whip into a frenzy what can truly be called a lunatic fringe. And it was... You know, I know that you guys have covered this, and it's a big rabbit trail, but they were an embarrassment to themselves, and they're just not going to prevail. So at the heart and soul of the culture wars, the heart and the soul of the ethical battles that are covering the planet, the killing of children by abortion, Islamic terrorism, and homosexual marriage. Those three together are the tip of the spear to try and destroy Christian civilization and the rule of law as given by our Creator. And, you know, God save us if they prevail. And they've been winning for a while. And Donald Trump represents true resistance. But to your viewers, I want to say, it's a reprieve. It's not victory, it's a reprieve. Still killing babies. Islam is still on the march. Germany is still mocking us. France is still in danger. We must not kid ourselves that the election of Trump is an automatic victory for justice and righteousness. All it is a flag being raised in a little area like that game Risk. Like, we've got Australia, and we're going to launch the Risk players out. It's a reprieve. But we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of fights ahead of us. And one of the reasons that I did this series, and I encourage people to go and get it, if you just joined us, it's 4 DVDs. We cover soup to nuts about Islam and connect the life of Muhammad to Islamic terrorism. You can see episode 1 for free, and then you'll know the quality. I mean, this is made to be on TV or in a movie theater. You'll all original music, artists from around the world, voice actors from around the world. We did this so that people could be equipped to fight. And we have to fight. We have to fight with the truth. We have to fight against lies. And we have to be fearless. I am, you know, I'm concerned at times for our safety, but I'm not afraid. God said, do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And our mission, as lovers of the Almighty, for those of us who are Christians, our mission is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors as ourselves, and to preach and to declare the truth. And one of those truths that we must declare is that Islam is a threat. It is an existential threat. And so for the fools and the idiots on national TV, or these stupid commentators who say that Islam is a religion of peace, I just want to say, have you ever been to Constantinople? Have you ever been to Istanbul? Have you ever seen the places where Christianity used to thrive, and it's right. Obliterated? Christianity is obliterated in the Middle East. Yeah. And it used to be the cradle of Christianity. That's what Islam has done, and that's what it intends to do. And Islam, part of Islamic ideology and orthodoxy, is that the flag of Islam will fly over Rome. They intend to attack Rome, believe me.
Yeah, and I look, in their writings, their most recent writings, you mentioned the magazine The Beak, ISIS, their eyes are definitely on the Vatican, on Rome, among other places, but absolutely. And do you see that? I mean, with this European Union and the senseless immigration.
Idiots.
Yeah, I mean,
they're idiots. And Brexit showed, you know, Nigel Farage and others, they Brexit showed that the people are starting to wake up. So in spite of all the whining and carping that's happened here in America, 66% of Americans, according to the last poll, favor President Trump's ban from those seven nations. The British got out of the European Union because of border issues. And France right now, and Germany right now, have two rise, and Holland, all three of them have parties rising to the top that are nationalist parties. And the French are saying, look, we're not going to let the Germans cut our throats. Americans, most of us don't understand how the European Union works. In a nutshell, They created a political body that eliminated borders and eliminated currency. So it used to be, if you were in Italy and you crossed into Switzerland or Austria or whatever, you had to have a passport. And if you went from Holland to France, you had to have a passport. You stopped at the border. Well, the European Union eliminated all borders. So once you're in, you can go anywhere. So the Germans have let in, what, a million Middle Eastern refugees? Many of whom are violent Islamists, as they're called. That's a bad term. They should just be called Muslims. Well, once those Muslims get properly credentialed and get proper paperwork, they can go anywhere in the continent. Anywhere. And the people in Holland and the people in France are saying, we'll be darned if we're going to let Germany put Muslims in a position to cut our throats.
Literally.
So, literally. So there's a rising nationalist movement in many countries, and I don't think it's unhealthy. I think it's healthy. And I think that they recognize viscerally the threat that Islam is. We created this series so that people could have the facts about the threat that Islam is. And again, I want to tell your listeners, every quote is fully documented. Many of them have several references. You can all check every reference for yourself. Number two, we never quote anybody ever who doesn't like Islam. Every quote comes from the canonical sacred, I say in quotes, sources of Islam. So we just let Muhammad speak for himself. So if someone wants to understand Christianity, study Jesus. If you want to understand Calvinism, study John Calvin. If you want to understand Methodism, study John Wesley. And if you want to understand Islam, study Muhammad. And that's what we've done. So you're going to get a college education for pennies on the dollar if you order this DVD series.
And
we'll
get it out to you. And I can attest to that. Randall Terry, folks, I can attest to the value that is represented in this. And, you know, if this sounds like an infomercial right now, so be it. It's an endorsement. Because I'm going to tell you something, right? I'm going to tell you something, everybody. If you don't understand the threat, if you don't understand the nature, you won't understand how to combat it. Now, we can pray on our knees, absolutely required, but we also have the duty, at least in my view, as Christians, to fully understand that threat. And by far the best product I've seen out there to really to create the context. I mean, you've done a wonderful job. Not only that,
information
quality
is power.
Great.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Information is power. And you know, you hear so many arguments in the media, in around the water cooler. When it comes to, is Islam a religion of peace? Is it a religion of the sword? And with this information, you can not only be a part of the argument, but explain to people the truth of the matter. And that's one of the big things that we see. Don't expect it to be in the media, because these people are paid not to tell the truth. But
I've got to tell you guys something, that you'll get a kick out of this because you're in broadcasting. We recorded this. We started to record the series. And we were having, well, should we hire an audio expert? So we contacted somebody from Hollywood, literally. Someone involved in Discovery Channel, Shark Week, which is very popular, and very gifted. And he said, you need to reshoot it. And I was like, no! But he convinced me, and he was right. So we rewrote it, and we shot it again. And then when we were done, we thought, no, we can do better still. And we reshot it again. This was 2 years in production. I don't even want to tell you how much money we spent on this thing. 2 years in production with a Hollywood producer and our team, which is first rate. Studios, artists, voice actors, original music, the whole nine yards. And we thought, you know what? Let's do this so that if PBS or Discovery or History wants to air it, they can. If CNN or Fox wants to air a clip, everyone's going to go, wow, that's really good. And I appreciate the endorsement from you guys.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody watches the first episode, you will understand original music, great cameras, a fortune in cameras. We didn't spare anything.
Well, the quality actually rivals The Innocence of Muslims. You remember that film that played in Los Angeles? I think one showing that was the joke about the Benghazi. You know, I'm kidding.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I never saw it.
No, I'm kidding. It was, but seriously, you've done everything I've ever seen when it comes to really putting together this. I can believe it 2 years.
I need to tell you that I acknowledge that there are people out there, Robert Spencer,
yep,
Dr. Warner, who know more than I do. I mean, I have a master's degree in international terrorism. I've studied this for 10 years. But there are people who are further down this than I am. What I brought to the table was that I'm a broadcaster.
That's right.
And that I thought, well, you know, it's not enough to write a book anymore. There are people who don't want to read a book. They want to see it. And so we said, ha, let's make a film series that puts the words on the screen, puts the references on the screen, and then people get the best of both worlds. They get the pictographic essay of Muhammad's life along with the quotes coming from Islamic sources. So I appreciate your
great
encouragement.
Great job, man.
And it's been a busting our butts here.
The phone number, if you want to order this by phone, 304-289-3700. Voiceofresistance.org is the website. Randall Terry is the man. That's right.
Very kind.
And thank you, Mr. Terry, for joining us. I hope we can do this again in the future. Very educational and exciting at the same time to learn this.
Well, yeah, I'm honored to do it. You guys gave us the reason to convert this studio, which I do my show on, to convert it so that we could do someone else's show. So this is our beta test for us to do this for another show. So
mission accomplished, brother.
For giving us the reason.
Well, thank you for being such a class act and a man of integrity, character. You and your entire family, God bless all of you. And thanks, you know what, thanks for your gracious gift of time and for the gift of knowledge that you've given all of us tonight. And I can't thank you enough, man.
I'm happy to do it. And again, we'll give people for free, if they go to our website, they can get that glossary of terms from Islam. They can print it and laminate it and have it. They can have it for free. And a bunch of really key quotes from Muhammad, where Muhammad is calling for jihad. Jihad, 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 from the lips of Muhammad to conquer the earth for Islam. So that's available for free at our website. And again, if people order the DVD series, thank you for your kind words about it. Complete money back guarantee, but I promise you, you're going to be blown away by what
that's
you see.
That's right.
And Randall Terry's website is voiceofresistance.org. That's voiceofresistance.org.
Wow.
Again, thank you, Mr. Terry. You have a good night, and we'll talk to you in the near future.
Thank you,
Doug. Thank you, Joe. God bless you guys.
God bless you,
all
too.
Right, brother. And on behalf of J.D. Hopwood, John Robertson, J.D. from the South, John Robertson from the Pacific Northwest, on behalf of my daughter Jackie from the other office, from behalf of Eric the Tech, of course, sitting right just 10 feet from us, Joe, and, of course, Lady, our studio dog. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.